In the fourth year of our relationship, I came home for 6 weeks. I'd had a leave of absence from work, and my stepfather was diagnosed with colon cancer. And instead of bailing on the failed life I had out west and coming home where I should have been, I went back and kept trying to fix a failed relationship. But when the end came for Lawrence, I did come home for a year to live on the farm with my mom. And I did rededicate my life to the Lord. But I had not fully surrendered my life to the Lord. I thought that, well, it's okay to have a few drinks as long as I'm not getting drunk, I'm okay. You know, as long as I keep it to a minimum, I'll be all right. So I hadn't fully surrendered my life to God. I wanted to live for Him, but I hadn't humbled myself and hadn't come to the end of myself, even yet, after everything that had happened. And so I still had anger issues. And at the end of that year on the farm, it got really intense. I can't go into it because I'm not at liberty to share somebody else's testimony, but instead of looking to the Lord to help me deal with the problem, I ran away from the Lord. And I went back out west to a man I didn't love and to a life that I knew I didn't want. I had fooled myself thinking, I'll be fine. When I get out there, I'll be one of the people that you see on the SkyTrain station trying to tell people about Jesus. And I'll be okay. But I was trying to do it on my own. And I couldn't do it on my own. And I wasn't willing to say, God, you have to do this for me because I can't do it. And so I, of course, made a mess of it again. And the man that I was living with, he ended up cheating with a girl at work and moved out. And we had invited a friend from Ontario to stay with us. We'd been friends with him for over 20 years. And so this friend and I decided to keep this apartment together and just be roommates. And of course, by then I was drinking again, full bore, and partying. And this friendship became a romantic relationship. And I had not looked to God to ask Him, is this for me? Because I really thought I loved this guy. I love him. He's a friend of mine, but I wasn't in love with him. And there's a big difference. But for a little while, we were pretty happy. We moved across the river to a luxury suite. There was a boardwalk. I was working for Kodak, had lots of friends. There was always a house full of people. And I mean, I thought I was happy, but it wasn't real happiness. It wasn't real joy. It was counterfeit. And it wasn't until God took my legs out from under me, because it was right around that time that I started experiencing severe pain in my hips. It was at first when I pivoted right or left, but I'd have sharp pain in my hips. And I knew that there was a problem when I went to the doctor. I was misdiagnosed with bursitis. And it turned out that it was not bursitis. I had degenerating joints, a deformity, and arthritis. And it was only going to get worse and worse and worse. And the physiotherapy that they sent me for was actually making the condition worse. And amidst all that, I found out that I had hepatitis C. And I'd probably had it for years and not known. So I had to go and have my liver checked. And with all the drinking I had done over the years, I had zero damage to my liver. Zero. For that reason, bless you. For that reason, I wasn't in line for treatment. Because out west, the healthcare system is much different. And they do worst case situations first. So because I had no liver damage, I was not going to get treatment there. Well, my hips kept getting worse. I was taking a lot of time off of work. I couldn't get disability because as far as the doctor was concerned, I had bursitis. And it got to the point where I couldn't work. I could hardly walk. The pain was so intense. I couldn't sleep. I started self-medicating. Because when you have hepatitis C, if you drink, your liver can just shut down on you. That's the way it was explained to me. It was explained to me, if you drink when you have hepatitis C, it's like throwing gasoline on a fire. And I actually made an effort to slow down. And that's when I realized, as crazy as it sounds, that's when I realized how much of a hold it had on me. Because I couldn't do it. And it actually got worse because my pain was getting worse. So I was drinking more to kill the pain. And I mean, all that does is make you fall around and hurt yourself. It was ridiculous. But I'm also thankful that I had been misdiagnosed, because if I'd not been, they probably would have gave me painkillers. I probably would have had a whole other set of problems to deal with. So I mean, looking back, yeah, it was pretty rough, but I think that all happened for a reason. I'm sure of it. Because, I mean, the way I describe it is, the more I drank, the more I could feel gravity. It was like I was being sucked into the floor. I felt heavier. And it wasn't killing my pain. That was fooling myself. The pain was still so intense that it was unbearable. And I think people that suffer chronic pain, you're halfway to the loony bin. Like, it really does a number on your head. It's the pain, but it's the lack of sleep. You get irritable. You get, it changes you. You're a different person. So I was living in a house full of people, but I wasn't having fun anymore. And with all these people that said that they were my good friends and they just loved me so much, no one would help me. No one would help me do anything. I couldn't reach my feet anymore. I couldn't reach the floor anymore. I couldn't get into my bathtub anymore. Like, it was a pretty bleak time. And I remember, well, I'll never forget it, actually. It was July 17th, 2018, and I had a doctor's appointment. And I had to get there, and I was dreading taking public transit. So a friend of mine said that he would drop me off. That was great. When I got dropped off, I went into the office, and I said to the girls in the office, I said, how long am I going to have to wait for the doctor? Because I can't sit, I can't stand, I can't lay down. If it's going to take a while, then I'll just go out to the cafe and I'll occupy myself and come back in. Oh no, the doctor will be right in. So I went into the doctor's office, and I wouldn't let myself look at the clock. And I tried everything. I tried even leaning over the end of the examination table to take the weight off. By the time I looked at the clock, it was 40 minutes I had been in there, and I was in tears. My pain was so intense, I was in tears. When I went back out to the counter, there was four people sitting there, and none of them would even look at me. I couldn't even get their attention. And I ended up really losing my cool. And I started screaming to the point that the doctor came out of the examination room that he was in to find out what the commotion was. And I mean, that wasn't in my character to start screaming in a doctor's office, but it happened. And I thought, okay, I have to get out of here. So I started walking out of the doctor's office and I yelled over my shoulder, "I'll phone to rebook the appointment." And the one girl said, "We don't do that here." They were treating me like, I don't know what, I had never been treated that way in my life. They didn't care. And they were supposed to be health professionals. And so I went into the pharmacy. All I wanted to do was get a hot water bottle to try to, you know, put some heat to it when I got home. Well, when I went into the pharmacy, the staff in there cared more than the people in the doctor's office. They actually offered to go into the doctor's office and do battle for me and everything. And I said, "No, it's okay. I need to pay for this and I need to get out of here." And so by the time I got home, I was in a really bad way. I was in a bad state. And I didn't drink all that much that day. I only had a few. But each one made me feel heavier. And I stopped asking for help. I went into the kitchen and started making something for myself to eat. And getting madder and madder that no one was helping me, even though I hadn't asked for help, but getting madder and madder all the same. And by the time I made whatever it was, I can't even remember now, I wasn't even hungry anymore. And I went into my room, and I remember laying down and thinking, you know what, if this is my life, I'm done. I don't even want this anymore. And that was when I came to the end of myself. And that is when I yelled to God and I said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore and I can't quit. You know it. You know everything about me and I can't do it. So if you don't do this for me, I'm done. This is it."